darkness fills the night. It cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful, you are faithful. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful, you are faithful. You are faithful. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
When you don't have to worry about who won a football game last night or who won a tennis match, who got this or that. But when you come into this place, you're prepared to worship. My heart has been blessed thus far. I pray yours has as well. In Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14, it reads, Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace.
Thank you, Brother David, for the reading of the Word of God. As we worship this morning, I was just clearly reminded that we need desperately to always be in the presence of God. Now, in one way, we could say, well, God's everywhere, and we're always in the presence of God, but yet it's a more focused presence of God. Prophet Isaiah, when he spoke to the people of Israel who had wandered away and who were struggling deeply in their disobedience and their turning away from God, in Isaiah chapter 40 began to draw their attention to God. And then there's those marvelous chapters, chapter 41, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46. And if you read those chapters, the prophet is drawing the people of Israel to God. And in Isaiah chapter 40, in that first section, he says, "Behold your God. Behold your God." Folks, that's how our lives will change. That's how we'll live differently. That's how we become the people that God wants us to be, when we behold our God. What a great privilege it is to worship. That's what worship is. It's beholding our God. Let's bow our heads right now, and let's go to this great God that we worship, and let's ask His help as we study together this morning. Father, we come to You because we desperately need You. And we have been reminded in several ways this morning that if we come to You in pride, if we come to You exalting ourselves, we will not see You. We will not reach You. We will not enter into Your kingdom. And Father, we have learned that those who are exalted will be humbled, and those who are humbled will be lifted up. God, we come to You this morning desiring to be lifted up. We come to You desiring, dear God, to submit and obey and worship and declare Your greatness and Your grace, and to do it through humble submission. So we ask Your help as we look at this scripture this morning. It is truth, as we've learned. You've placed it before us as a body of believers. And God, we thank You. And we ask now that by Your Spirit, You will take this word, go to the very depths of our souls, and continue to change us into the image of Jesus Christ. Thank You for this great mercy and great grace that will not leave us as we are, but will make us people who live for You and glorify You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There is a war for your soul. There is a war for your soul taking place right now, right this moment in your lives. There is a war for your soul. Sin is fighting for the throne of your life. And it's using your desires, and it's turning the members of your body into weapons of unrighteousness. And when we use that word sin this morning, please don't limit your thinking to big sins. Sins like stealing or murder or adultery or fornication or idolatry, because folks, we're talking about any sin, every sin. And we're talking about any member of our body as a weapon of sin. Here's an example. The book of James says that the most deadly and dangerous member of our body is the tongue. Our words. James says in James chapter 3 that the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. It is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell, and no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. You see, folks, this is what happens when sin controls our desires so that our tongues become weapons of unrighteousness. And that's just the tongue. And so there is a battle that takes place every day and every hour and every moment in your life and mine. Sin desires to control us and ravage us and ruin us, and therefore relegate us to a life of weakness and shame and uselessness. When I studied this passage, I asked myself, Tim, when will you get serious about sin? We need to get serious about sin. That's what Paul's talking about here in Romans chapter 6, verses 11 to 14. We are at war with sin. So listen again now how the Apostle Paul describes it. He says, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And so Paul, in this passage, and in the truths, the passages that lead up to this passage, Paul is telling us how to fight sin in our lives. And make no mistake about it, folks, fighting sin is absolutely critical to your sanctification. And so the question then is this: how shall we fight against sin? How shall we fight against sin? And so I want you to look with me this morning at Romans chapter 6, verses 11 to 14, because Paul will help us today to do battle against sin. Now remember that the first five chapters of the book of Romans have dealt with God, with sin, with justification. You see, folks, Paul doesn't teach us how to battle against sin until we've learned how Jesus Christ has done battle against sin first. Paul doesn't just drop this war on us and drop this battle on us and say, Christians, you need to fight against sin. Now, that's true, but first of all, he tells us who God is and what sin is and what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And Paul has taken five chapters of the book of Romans to do that very thing. 5 chapters to help us see why justification by faith is utterly essential as a foundation for fighting sin. Folks, Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Jesus did what the law could not do. You cannot fight sin effectively in your lives until you know that sin is forgiven. You can't fight sin effectively until you know that you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith. And that's why the Apostle Paul goes in such detail here in Romans chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, coming to chapter 6. He wants us to understand what God has done for us in Christ Jesus and who we are now in Christ. It's vital to our fight against sin. It's important to our sanctification. You see, folks, we don't make ourselves holy in order to be justified. We are justified by faith in order to become holy. And that's why we have right now in Romans 6 this truth of sanctification. And so I want to be simple this morning. I want to be right to the point, because Paul gives us some specific actions in waging war against sin. And I would say to you this morning, I would say to myself this morning, if you are tired of losing to sin, if you are weary of sin ruling in parts of your life, if you are sick of being knocked down and knocked out by sin, then listen carefully this morning, because Paul will give us 6 tactical actions for combat against sin. And if you want victory, if you want to throw back the advance of sin in your everyday life, if you want to stop sin in its tracks, then here's how you do it. Here's what Paul says. Tactic number 1, we're fighting against sin. We're waging this war against sin. And tactic number 1 is this: Christ died for your sin. Christ died for your sin. And folks, this is so simple, but absolutely vital in waging war against sin. Jesus Christ died for your sin. Jesus did that for you. Hold your place and go back to Romans chapter 3 and look at verse 25. First part of verse 25, Romans chapter 3, the first part of verse 25. Paul here is talking about Jesus. He's talking about what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. So we just jump right into verse 25, and he says, "Whom God set forth," the whom there is Jesus, "whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith." Now, we've looked at this before. We know this verse. We know the truth of this statement. This means that Jesus Christ shed His blood so that God's wrath and God's judgment would be satisfied. To say it another way, Jesus Christ took the judgment and the condemnation that we deserve because of our sin. He took it upon Himself, and that wrath was turned away from us. God put His wrath and judgment on Jesus and turned it away from us. That's what Paul's saying. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and look at verses 8 and 9. Again, a very familiar passage. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Paul says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." And so we are saved from the judgment of God. We're saved from the condemnation that rightfully belongs to us because of our sin. We're saved from that. We're saved even from a future wrath and judgment that will come upon this planet because of sin. And God did that through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus Christ justified us by His blood. Folks, this is the first tactic in fighting sin. When we face sin, when we fight, when we struggle against sin, we have to remind ourselves of this simple but glorious truth. Jesus Christ died for my sin. Jesus Christ has provided forgiveness to me by His death, by His shed blood. And so don't underestimate the importance of this truth. Don't skip it. Don't ignore it. Because if you do, Satan will defeat you and discourage you with a hopeless and guilty conscience. Jesus Christ died for your sin. And even, folks, when you fail and you fall and sin gets a victory in your life in a certain area, then you preach to yourself, Jesus Christ died for me. Amen. Jesus Christ died for this sin. You see, you preach the gospel to yourself when you fail and when you fall. That's tactic number one. Tactic number two, you died and rose with Christ. You died and rose with Christ. So tactic number two is that when Jesus Christ died and rose again, you died and rose again. Now remember, Paul's talking to who here? He's talking to believers, talking to those who have been justified, those who know God through Jesus Christ. Tactic number two, when Jesus Christ died and rose again, you died and rose again. I'll say it another way. God viewed you as being united with Christ so that Christ's death became your death and Christ's resurrection became your resurrection. Look at Romans 6:6. Romans 6:6. Paul says, knowing this, that our old man or the old life was crucified with Him. Look at verse 8, Romans 6:8. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. We died with Christ, we live with Christ. And so the first two tactics for fighting sin, they are objective. They are historical. In other words, this happened outside of ourselves. This is history. Folks, when these things took place, we weren't even born. This is objective truth. This is reality. This is history. This is a fact that is revealed to us by God in His Word. Christ died for our sins, and we died and rose with Jesus Christ. Tactic number three. Tactic number three. We have become united with Christ. We've become united with Christ. And so God unites us with Christ by faith. And so we're joined to Jesus Christ. We're connected to Jesus Christ. In our time previously looking at Romans chapter 6, this is the truth that Paul just pounds to these believers. We're in union with Christ. We're united with Christ. We're joined with Jesus Christ. Folks, this is the application to us of what was accomplished for us at the cross and in the life of Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 6:5. Paul says, we have become united together in the likeness of His death. Now, how does this happen? How do we become united with Jesus Christ? How do we become connected with Jesus Christ? I'll say this, it's a work of God. It's a work of God that unites us with Jesus Christ. Hold your place. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look at verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. The Apostle Paul, writing to those Corinthians, says this. He says, but of Him, that's of God, of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, I emphasize to you that Paul says, but of Him, of God, from God, this is of God, this is from God. God joined us with Christ Jesus. God grafted us into Christ. God connected us with Jesus Christ. And what was our part? It's called faith. It's called believing. It's called trusting. You see, we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We believed what God did through Jesus Christ. You see, folks, we looked at ourselves and we looked at Christ and what He's done and who He is and what He promises to do, and we receive Him by faith. That's how God connects us to Jesus. It's through faith that we're connected. It's through faith that God joins us with Jesus. And so there is a union then that connects us with His death, His resurrection, and His righteousness. Now think about these tactics. These are truths. We talked about truth this morning. These are truths that will help you fight against sin. If you go head to head against sin without knowing these truths, without acknowledging these truths and affirming these truths and remembering these truths, sin will beat you. Sin will defeat you. Paul's telling us here how to fight it and how to beat it. And notice that it's all connected with what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And that's why that we will never fight against sin in our own power, and we'll never fight against sin in our own strength, and we'll never fight against sin ourselves, because God has done it through Jesus Christ. Tactic number four. God justifies us. So God justifies us by this faith because we are united with Christ. Folks, that means that our sins are forgiven. That means that God imputes or credits to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hold your place in Romans and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And look with me at verse 21. Familiar verse. Familiar verse. As a matter of fact, all these scriptures are familiar. We know them. We've studied them. We need to remember them and use them every day in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul says it like this. He says, for He, that's God, for He, God, made Him, that's Christ, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And so let's think about this. We've looked at this before, but just as God counted Christ to be sinful when He was righteous, so God counts us to be righteous when we're sinful. Now, you know, we could step back and we could say, well, that doesn't make sense. Or that's not fair. Or that's not right. How could God do such a thing? Because God took what we deserved and He put it on Jesus. And that judgment and that condemnation and that penalty and all that sin brings to us, God put that on Jesus. And therefore God was perfectly just in declaring us righteous, because we by faith are now connected to Jesus. And everything that Jesus did, God looks at us doing it. Everything that Jesus accomplished, God looks at us as accomplished through Jesus Christ, through Christ. And all this comes to us because we are in Christ. So let's pause and let's think about this as we look at these tactics. Very simple, just very clear what Paul gives us in the Scriptures. Tactic number one, Christ died for our sins. Tactic number two, we died with Christ and rose with Christ. Tactic number three, God united us to Christ through our faith. Tactic number four, God justifies us because of our union with Jesus Christ, and He counts our sin as punished in Christ, and He counts Christ's righteousness as credited to us. And folks, I want you to notice that in all of these truths and all of these tactics, all of these actions precede or come before Romans 6:11. And that tells us that we need to know this, and we need to embrace this, and we need to understand this. This is how we fight against sin. And all these things must happen before we fight sin. And so, you know, it's easy now to begin to understand why many people never have victory over sin. It's because they try to fight sin before they're right with God. Or they try to fight sin when they don't really understand what God has done for them in Christ Jesus. Tactic number five. Consider yourselves dead to sin. And so tactic number five is closely connected with number four because it's an extension of faith. You see, we're justified by faith. And now we look at this tactic number five. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Folks, this is a mental, volitional choice of our will. Look at verse 11, Romans 6:11. So based on all this that we've just shared, based on what Paul has given in great detail in the first five chapters and the first part of chapter 6 of Romans, verse 11, he says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now notice that this is something that we do with our reason, with our will, with our minds. You see, there's no action with our feet and hands at this point, but this is something we're doing with our minds, with our thoughts, with our will. We reckon ourselves to be dead to sin. We consider ourselves to be dead to sin. We believe ourselves to be dead to sin. And that's why we say this is an extension of faith. We have to believe that we're dead to sin because we're united to Christ. We're joined with Him in His death and resurrection. And so when sin comes against us, we have to make a decision of the will, of our minds. And we have to say to ourselves, I am dead to sin because I am united to Jesus Christ. And He died for me, and He was raised from the dead. And I died, and I was raised from the dead. And this is how we fight sin. You see, it starts in the mind. It starts with the decision of the will. I am dead to sin. And since Christ died to sin and lives to God, then likewise you also, or even so, you also must bring your mind and your will into alignment with this truth. Folks, this is how we must think. We must think this way. We must count or reckon this to be true about ourselves. Christ died to sin and lives to God. We died and rose with Christ. Now count this, reckon this, consider this to be true in your life. This is how we fight sin. But notice, this is happening in our minds. And so Paul was saying to first of all, bring our minds and our hearts into alignment with this objective reality of the first four tactics of truth that we've looked at. That Christ died for us and we died in Him. And we are united with Him by God's doing through faith. and we are justified. You begin to see what a difference this will make in your life? Because see, we try to fight sin again in our own power. Oh, woe is me. Sin has come against me and I've made this decision and I've failed. Oh, folks, we need to live in the victory that God has accomplished for us in Christ Jesus. See, that's how we live. That's how we fight sin in our lives. And so based on all this objective truth, and that's what Paul gave in the first five chapters, based on this objective truth, we need to think this way. We need to know ourselves this way. We need to acknowledge the reality of who we are in Christ Jesus. We need to welcome and embrace the work of God and all it means for us as the greatest treasure and the greatest value in our lives. You see, this is how we fight sin. This is embracing and believing our union with Jesus Christ as being precious beyond all things in our lives. Tactic number six. Tactic number six. Say no to sin and choose God. Say no to sin and choose God. You see, folks, now comes that direct engagement with sin. And when sin moves our desires and tempts us to present our members as weapons of unrighteousness, we are now ready to do battle. We now have the weapons that God has given us. We have the truth that God has given to us in His Word. We understand the reality of who we are. We are ready to do battle against sin. And so we say no to sin and we choose God. Look at verse 12. Because notice that Paul begins and he says, Therefore, based on everything that I've given you in the first five chapters. Now, Paul didn't say that, but that's what he means by therefore. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And so the active engagement of our will comes after and is based on all the other tactics given by God. And so it's not just say no, but for the Christian, there are five great things that have preceded and undergirded and enabled us to say no. And that's why, folks, even when we work with other believers or when we fight this battle to ourselves, we have to fight it with truth. We have to fight it with the reality of who we are in Christ Jesus. And that's why you can take a young believer who is struggling with sin. Don't you walk up to that unbeliever and they say, I'm struggling with sin and I have fallen and I've failed and I don't know what to do about this specific sin. Don't you say to them, well, just say no. Because they need to know who they are. And they need to know who Christ is. And they need to know what Christ has done. And they need to know their union with Christ. And they need to know that they are justified. Do you see that? Do you understand that? That's why so many young believers, that's why so many believers struggle in their lives. And it's not that we're exempt from that struggle, but yet this serious struggle that threatens their faith is because they don't know who they are. And they don't know what Christ has done. And they've never been discipled and they've never grown and they don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. And folks, what that means is, in the very least, is that they stay baby Christians their whole lives. And they never grow in Christ because they don't know. And no one has taught them and no one has discipled them. They don't know. So these five great truths that we've looked at, they come before this active battle that we have with sin. And so now we can say no. And when sin attacks, we can say no. And when sin tempts, we can say no. And when sin sends out the troops of evil desire and wicked passions in our lives, we can say no. You see, there's a real engagement of our will. We must choose to say no. And behind that choice to say no is the greatness of God's work for us in Christ Jesus. And folks, this morning, we can say no because of what God has done for us in Christ. And we can say no because of what's happened to us in Christ. And we can say no because of who God is for us in Christ. And we can say no because of who we know ourselves to be in Christ Jesus. And we embrace all of this as true and precious. And because of that, we say no to sin. We say no clearly and plainly, no to sin. And so what is all this choosing? It's preferring God. It's regarding God as more precious than sin. It's choosing God and His person and His promise through Jesus Christ as more valuable and precious and preferable than the fleeting pleasures of sin. And what does that mean? It means that we know we're alive to God, and you know God, and you love God, and you cherish God, and you consider God to be your treasure, and you consider God to be your satisfaction and pleasure. And folks, the reason that we're able to do this is because we know Him and we understand who He is and what He's done for us through Jesus Christ. And our minds are enlightened and our understanding is illuminated. And therefore, folks, this morning we must labor and work and put forth effort to know what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And when we look to Him continually until we see Him as preferable and precious above all things, sin is then defeated and sin's hold is broken because we desire God more than we desire sin. You know, you can define sin as this. It's desiring sin more than God. That's what sin is. It's desiring something else above God. That's what sin is. And yet its power is broken by the cross, by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, we must desire God more than desire sin. So do you see then, do you see why we've spent months looking at Romans 3 and 4 and 5? Because you'll never understand Romans 6 without those other chapters. You'll never understand sanctification without understanding justification. Do you see, folks, why that we encourage you and admonish you to read and study the Word of God for yourselves? Do you see why we tell you it's necessary to be with other Christians who desire God and love God and treasure God and who are learning more and more about God? Because this is how we fight against sin. This is how we desire God more than sin. And so I ask you this morning, what is your treasure? What is of most value to you in your life? What or who will you choose above all things? For that person who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ, you can say no to sin. And you can put off sin. And you can defeat sin. But to do it, you must choose God. Will you choose God? Let's bow our heads. Father, we acknowledge this morning that every day, every hour, every moment, we're making choices. And it's choices of either God or all other things. And Father, the struggle is hard and the battle is difficult. Because there are things that you have given to us that are important to us. But God, help us to desire you and choose you and to fight against the very things that would seek to ruin us. God, we desperately need your help. Thank you for what you've done for us in Christ. And Father, all these blessings, they are full, they're finished, they're complete. We need no more. Father, I'm reminded that your apostle Peter says that all that we need for life and godliness has been given to us. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his death. Thank you for his resurrection. And thank you that by a work of incomprehensible grace, you have connected us with Jesus Christ through faith. Father, if there's anyone here this morning who has not place their faith in Jesus, who's not connected with Jesus, may today be that day. May you open their eyes, their ears, their hearts to you. God, help us as your children to fight, to battle.